Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters, the movie. At first, I didn't believe it either, but the gods of Olympus are real. And sometimes these gods have children with humans. They're called half-blood.
I'm one of them.
I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood.
Join us as we journey back through a childhood favorite series.
And see what lessons we can learn as adults from these books that meant so much to us as kids.
Yes!
You see why I had to start with that.
I do.
Badass.
It's so bad.
Why on earth?
Like, Logan Lerman, not a bad actor, but no one could pull off those words.
Not a soul.
I love Logan Lerman so much, he did not deserve this.
I know.
Me too, but he did not do great in this movie.
Okay then.
I don't think to his fault.
I just think it's so
he's a white boy of the decade and no one can take that title.
I just think it's so hard to act. Well, that, but I think it's I think it's very very hard to act a script that doesn't give back to you, you know?
No, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, but you know what I think is very funny? And one of the, like, right out the gate, one of the biggest things I noticed about this movie was that apparently they can't have both Pierce Brosnan and Stanley Tucci in the same movie. They said one or the other.
Do you really think that that was the rule? They were like, oh, we got Stanley Tucci to play Dionysus. No, we have to get rid of Pierce Brosnan.
No. I think for a movie like that, they can't have both.
Morally.
I mean, we'll talk about it, but they get away with a lot more famous people than they should.
No, but like it would just have been a crime to have those two people in the same movie and the movie still not be good.
That's true.
So the universe said sorry.
The universe
take
said
one.
Sorry. Take one, not the other.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome to Return to Camp Half-Blood.
Oh, right. Hi.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, guys. Well, everyone,
if you haven't figured it out yet, we're talking about the movie. Not even the first movie that is, like, enjoyable for, like, nostalgic purposes. This one's just a movie.
Can I say, I think this one is a little nostalgic for me as well, but only the montage scene.
I was going to say only the beginning. This is nostalgic to me for, like, a different reason.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing this movie. First time we all saw this movie. I saw it opening day. Like this, I saw the premiere of this movie in theaters.
I saw it in my family room. Like I think I got it in Redbox or something.
My God, I think I saw it the same way.
Yeah. I remember sitting in my family room and being so disappointed.
Oh no. I saw this movie in theaters with my family and my brother's best friends and one of my best friends at the time. We were wearing Return to Camp Half-Blood shirts. Camp Half-Blood shirts. But you can get a Return to Camp Half-Blood shirt on Redbubble.
Quick plug.
Ooh, I did, not to keep plugging, but I did take a lot of notes for this movie and I took them in my Return to Camp Half-Blood notebook.
Aww.
Can I say that I still am not 100% sure which one of the silhouettes we are?
I will cut this out, but this is me. This is Ava and this is Neve.
Oh, really? I thought it was the opposite. Cool.
This is where I took notes.
This is where I took notes.
For the good and welfare of Phi Sigma Sigma.
All right, so, before we get into, so what we're going to do is we are going to skim through the movie and talk about it chronologically, but before we get into that, I think it's Neve, maybe?
Oh, are you going to make Neve? Us summarize
absolutely
the whole
fucking not.
Like Neve
absolutely
to,
fucking
no,
not.
No, it's not a 30-second, remember, we did this for Lightning Thief, I'm like, 60% sure we did this for Lightning Thief.
60.
You can
that's
have a minute.
Grade.
No, a I'm sorry. Minute. I can't do this. I cannot write all... You were able to do it. I simply cannot. I cannot write all this madness down.
So here's the gag, is when I watched the movie, I fell asleep before the end.
Ava didn't even finish.
Well, no, no, no. I've watched the full movie before multiple times. The time that I watched it for this episode, though, I fell asleep right before the end. All right. I don't think I'm the best.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
But I'm going to get through, like, so little of it, even in only a minute.
You can be much more vague than we are for the...
I'm going to try and write down something really quickly.
Oh, you know what? I almost said...
Fuck it. Go ahead.
I almost said it for 1 second.
You imagine.
All right. Please give a 1 second recap of this hour and 46 minute film.
Tyson.
Okay. Go. All right. You have one whole minute. Dang. Which is generous because we normally get 30 seconds.
So generous.
All right. 3, 2, 1, action.
Okay. Fall Out Boy is playing. We are at a scary ass rock climbing scene that we've burned into my brain forever. Then Percy talks about Talia, which doesn't really make any sense, but he talks about Talia and they're like, they recount the story of like how she died. And then they like basically recap the first movie a little bit because they want to make sure everyone's on the same page. And then Tyson shows up and he is revealed to be like Percy's brother and like the son of Poseidon. And then the camp gets attacked and they realize that Talia's tree is poisoned and they need to go on a quest to get the Golden Fleece. Everything that's happening is normal. Mr. D, like there is no, I can't even remember his name, but like Mr. D chooses Clarice, which doesn't make, anyways, Mr. D chooses Clarice to go on the quest and then, fuck. Like that was only like the first 30 minutes.
That was. I do like that you spent 15 seconds of your minute talking about the rock climbing wall.
I mean, that's
what I think it's the most.
It's the only good part of the movie.
I was going to say, I think it is. That was fully necessary. It was the most important part.
It's true.
All right.
Okay. Where did I leave off?
They get a quest. And then they go in the taxi. And then they meet Hermes. And then they on the boat. And they on the boat. And then they on another boat.
Yeah.
And then another boat.
Yeah. Boat to boat.
Honestly, guy, that kind of is both the movie and book. They get on boat and then another boat.
And then another boat.
Wait, we are forgetting a big thing. They are eaten.
Oh, but they were eaten. They're eaten when in one boat and then being eaten leads them to another boat.
It's always the boats.
It's always the boats. It's a le boot. The boats.
Oh. And then also Tyson. Oh my God. Can we talk about how he looks so different? This is going to sound absolutely dense, but let me explain. He looks so different with one eye.
Please explain.
Let's unpack that.
Okay.
He looks like he has less eyes than two. Like
no, that's why I said I'm going to sound absolutely dense. Let me elaborate. He just straight up looks like that's not going to help, is it? I was going to say he looks like he has a completely different facial structure, but no, he looks like his face shape is different. His nose looks different, and his mouth, the layout of his face, aside from the number of eyes he has, just looks completely different. And it really threw me when he got his sprayable mist, which. Rubbing me the wrong way that someone attacked him with it, like pepper spray. But anyway, he looks like a completely different facially constructed person.
Okay, I feel that. I want you guys to know that I watched this with my family.
My family would not watch this with me if I paid them.
And yeah, my mom genuinely asked if Logan Lerman was playing both Percy and Tyson. Like, until he had two eyes. Like, with the sunglasses in one eye. Like, they have this... Like, I can see it. Like, they have the same nose and mouth and, like, general face shape. And I was like, honestly, good brother casting.
Yeah. Aw.
With two eyes, they look nothing alike, though.
True. See? There it is.
There it is. Straight from the horse's mouth.
Speaking of the horse's mouth, the fact that they recast Chiron, I think it's funny. Yes. Pierce Brosnan was like, peace, I'm not doing this again.
All right. Going through the movie, we start off with the Talia story.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
That's... So, like, yes, we like this was supposed to be covered in the last book. But then the whole fact that it's Talia's tree doesn't matter to the entire film until the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And also, Talia is, like, 8.
She is 8.
She is 8.
When she's 8.
When she's 8.
When she ate. Also, I can't see anything in this first scene.
That's so real.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dark. Like, we're skimming True. Through it now, and I don't see a single thing.
True.
And the monologue, opening monologue, so stupid.
It is so stupid.
And her tree protects my home. Oh, and then we have the most iconic scene. We've been talking about it for... this entire book, I think once an episode.
It's so good.
Is it even good? Or is it just the only sort of good scene in this movie? Which is a low bar.
It is a low bar. I just have to say, like, even watching it this, again, this is the second time I've watched this movie, is watching it for this podcast.
Oh, wow.
I saw it in theaters and then I never watched it again.
Really? I did.
Was, when this started happening, I was just as hype as I was when this movie came out.
I think it was more hype. I truly do, because I remembered how iconic it was. Very good. The song. I think this is what started me thinking Clarice is so badass.
I agree.
Was the montage. I think that that's why I like her so much, is because, like, I saw the movie and was like, oh my god, she's killer. Like, well, freaking love her.
My favorite part, though, was when they introduced Clarice. It's so artificial because they're like, oh fuck, Clarice now looks like Annabeth looked in the last movie, and Annabeth looks like a different person because she's blonde now. So how do we make sure people know that this is Clarice and a different person, even though they have the same personality in these movies?
Yeah, I don't know why they chose to combine Annabeth and Clarice into, like, basically one character, because then, you know, like, they probably thought they were going to get a sequel out of this.
Yeah.
And Clarice is such an integral part of this book. Like, why was that move made? Just so weird.
They could have cast one more person. Like, they could have paid one more actor.
They didn't even need to include Clarice in the scene. Like, Clarice was important in Lightning Thief, but they could have cut her out. Just made Annabeth, like, actually act like Annabeth and not a weird meld of Clarice and Annabeth. So then they would not have this confusing thing in the Sea of Monsters movie.
Because then in this movie, Annabeth's character is so messed up that she's just not in this movie. You know?
Yeah.
Annabeth does nothing this entire movie except die.
True. Yeah.
Except die and be even more Cyclops racist than she was in the book. Did anyone else notice that?
Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, I think like her issues are less consistent in the movie, but when they're there, you know.
Right.
Like, other scene, but
she's just doing very little else in this movie.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, also, did either of you watch Buffy?
No.
So Chiron is Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I hadn't watched that when I originally watched this movie, obviously. But when I watched this movie, I went, is that Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Why is he in this movie? Where's Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, that's always a good question.
And why, if they were going to change the character, why couldn't they make the horse white?
Right. Oh. Right.
There was a lot of white in this movie, though.
That's true. That's really damn true.
Also, this fashion in this shot we're looking at right now is just the most 2000s shit.
Oh yeah, this is the
like that jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Grover and Annabeth in their sports jacket.
And everyone in the background too is just raw. Like, look at that girl on the left with the pink
skirt,
shorts. But yeah, it's just so 2000s. I can't.
Yeah.
Also, so I hate to say, like, I wish it was at this point in the movie that I realized this, but it was later. Why is Grover here?
Oh, I know. But it's
why is Grover here?
It took me a while. I mean, I have to say, because Grover was the we watched the first movie. Grover was very enjoyable in the first movie, and I have to say, he's enjoyable in this one too.
Yeah,
like movie Grover, very different character, but holds a great spot in my heart.
No, I know. I kind of like I missed him. Like in the book, I was like, I was kind of happy that they deviated from the plot in that way, even though it's like it's so important. But I was still like, oh, like I'm glad he's here.
I was glad too, but also like it kind of makes like Percy and Annabeth and like I guess Grover just by association the fact that he's here, it just makes them look like more annoying in my opinion.
I
because
agree.
In the book, they had a reason to be angry about not going on this quest because Percy was like, holy fuck, my friend's in danger. Like, let me go. Like, I need to go save him. Like, I know where he is and he's in danger. But now that Grover's here, they're just like, I don't get to go. And it just seems like a little, like, it just makes them look like a little more annoying. Like, they really just don't want Clarice to have a good time. So, I don't know. It just, like, it gave them more, Grover not being there and, like, what he was going through made them more motivation to sneak away from camp and like be angry that they weren't chosen to go on this quest, and now it just looks like I wanted to go.
I know, I agree. And like because there were four of them and not three of them for a lot of it, it was like none of them individually got enough time.
Yeah.
So I feel like not a single character did anything in this movie besides Clarice. Oh,
besides Clarice.
I actually really loved movie Clarice.
Me too.
She was the only character
I enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her and I liked Dionysus, but that's just because I feel like Stanley Tucci, like, this man can take a terrible script and make it sound good. And for that, I just have such immense respect.
I also noticed that Stanley Tucci is very funny.
He's so funny. I mean, like, I have stanned this man. Oh, that's funny because that's his name.
Dan.
But I've I just love this man for so many years. Like, I just think he's so talented. Like, Oscars for him, you know? Oscars for Stan.
Also, what is this Tyson reveal?
Yeah.
I don't like it. They're like, Tyson just wandered into camp.
It's like,
he's
that's
here now.
Fair.
He's your brother. Like, the first third of this book is like, who's Tyson? Oh, he's your brother. Let's take time. Let's deal with it.
Yeah, it's a big reveal.
Then it's like, here's Tyson. Here's your brother. And then Percy's like, I don't want Tyson as my brother.
Yeah.
It's very, there is nothing subtle.
Yeah.
Also, it just, oh, I'm going to say that again because I said it three on. Also, I feel like the scriptwriters just didn't take one chance to make them seem like less annoying. Like, I feel like every single time they had a chance to make these characters annoying and like people that you don't really like, they were like, it's time to do it. Like, what?
Yeah, like Clarice
just like,
point.
I don't want you as a brother. There's just no reasoning behind it.
Yeah, true.
And then he puts on sunglasses and it's okay.
I thought he looked like Medusa. Like,
he does.
Look like movie Medusa.
Because he has these weird like white boy dreads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I think they're trying to show that he, like, grew up in the wild, but, like...
Yeah, like, he just has, like, really matted hair. I don't know. He did look... It was very funny. I was like, is this Uma Thurman? Is she back? She is not.
She is...
Also,
not.
This weird Chris Rodriguez thing...
Yeah, why is he so important?
Like, because in the they're like, hey, Chris, are you coming? And he's like, no, I'm good. In the most, like, evil villain way. It's like, no, I'm good. It was like, we just did this with Luke last time.
Yeah, like, it's like Luke Castellan who, like, the real villain is Chris Rodriguez.
And then he shows up later, captures Grover, and then never seen again, is implied to have been eaten.
I don't know. Maybe he was. I feel like I remember him dying.
I'm going to be honest. The bowl is kind of really cool.
Oh my god, I know. The way they animated the bowl was, like, absolutely epic to me.
Yeah. I, like, the CGI is not the worst part of... It's actually, like, one of the best aspects.
I was gonna say,
one
of the best parts of the movie. CGI is probably the best part of this movie.
Besides,
they obviously spent
besides the obstacle course, obviously.
They obviously spent all their money on CGI designers and not writers. Script writers.
They didn't have enough money to pay Pierce Brosnan for the second movie.
They said, let's have the actors read like the Wikipedia summary of this book and then improv it.
True. They were like interpretive, like acting.
But honestly, I wish it was like that.
Me too. I need to mention something.
Yes.
Luke fucking died at the end of Lightning. Like, he didn't, but it was heavily implied this man died.
Yeah.
Do you remember he was punted off a building?
They did. They did like, throw him off a building.
I remember when we watched the movie, at the end of it I was like, this man is dead. Like, this man has died.
Yeah.
Like, why did he live?
And then he comes back and he's like, next time you drown someone, make sure they're dead.
It's like you were punted off a building.
Yeah.
Into a river. Like, there was no way.
Like, you didn't even get drowned.
Like,
there is no way you were alive.
Why do we need this moment where he comes back and he's like, ha ha ha, here's my evil plan.
I know.
And then
maybe because they didn't want to, you know, like, they haven't mentioned Kronos so far.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to, like, delve into the Kronos thing, that, like, Kronos is the reason Luke is doing this. So, like, they were like, oh, it'd be easiest if we brought him back from the fucking dead.
It's just the biggest problem with this movie, I think, is that it tries to do too much course correcting. It's like, we wrote a completely different movie for the first one, but now we have to make this make sense. But we didn't include any of the details that were important.
Yeah. Very odd.
This is a minor detail, but why is the Camp Half-Blood, like, flag sigil a trident?
Yeah, Percy gets enough attention. He doesn't need this. His ego will inflate.
Before he came, there weren't even any children of Poseidon.
I know. Annoying.
So,
honestly, like, Clarice's angst makes sense. Like, if they're going to completely remake the symbol for this kid that just got there, like, I'd be a little bitter.
I know. It just makes Percy and Annabeth seem like such more annoying people.
I agree.
And, like, Percy and Annabeth are a little bit annoying, but they're redeemable. And I feel like in these movies, they're just straight up not redeemable.
They're not.
Like, they're just annoying.
Like, high-key obnoxious.
Yeah.
I agree.
But, like, the details that made them not obnoxious were taken out of the script. So it's like,
they just look like privileged little.
Yeah. So it's like, why are they this way?
Oh, and then Grover is still very horny in this book. in this movie.
Yeah.
It was very notable.
Very funny, yeah.
Oh, the Oracle.
Yeah, they also said we need to include the Oracle in this.
At first, I was like, the Oracle, like, that design is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stained glass window, like, that the animation of that is cool.
Yeah.
And then she starts saying the prophecy, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But also, why is the Oracle, like, providing the exposition?
Yeah.
She's just supposed to say prophecy and leave.
True. That's really funny. They were like, we'll dump this on you. Like, you can take care of it.
They had just so much that they had to, they're like, we made so many mistakes that we now have to
fix. Like, clean up after. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a grand idea. Oh, this part was funny.
I was going to say, that transition where he's like,
like, where he's like, this is a stupid idea. And then he's like, I am a genius.
I really genuinely, like, laughed out loud during that. It was very
funny. So did I. I mean, he also had a really great line. I think it was during this bit where he was like, you'll get to it in the captions, but it was like, oh yeah, it was like right after this, where he was like, yeah, it must be a say, or no, I don't know. He had this, like, really great line that was, like, beautifully written, stood out so much, did not match with the rest of this script, but it was, like, so inspiring. And it was like a real war cry. And I was like, I mean, good for him, but like, where's the rest of it?
Good for him, but why is this happening?
Yeah.
Also, what the fuck is the satyr thing? Where they're like, you must be accompanied by a satyr that will lead you to the Golden Fleece because we need a satyr to find it.
It wasn't like the most, in my opinion, that wasn't the most like far out thing they could have done.
It wasn't, because, but like, what was striking was they introduced this other satyr.
Yeah.
And then we never see him again.
It's weird that we never see him again. When I watched it, I was like, oh, well, satyrs are, like, protectors. Like, I can kind of get why they did that, you know? That, like, that is, like, the idea of satyrs. It's not really, like, a requirement that they have to come on quest, but, like, I get why they did it. And then he's just, like, dropped. He never.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, he got eight.
He got.
They all got eight, but we'll talk about
true.
Oh, there's this moment where he's like talking to the sword and he's just like, cursed blade shall reap, cursed blade shall reap.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was there's a lot of bad dialogue in this movie, but that was the worst. That was so bad.
Yeah. Just like, we don't have to repeat it, guys.
Repetition does not make something more true.
That's
or powerful.
True.
You're right.
Oh my god. Very funny.
Okay. I do have to say, there's another funny moment. Okay, there were a couple of funny moments in this movie.
Yeah.
And when Tyson has, like, the bag full of, like, I don't know what the fuck is in this bag. Like, a bunch of tin cans or something. But they're, like, trying to be quiet. He drops them, and they run away later, and they're all running really quietly, and he's behind, like, shh, 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 shh.
I thought that was so funny.
And Annabeth being Cyclops racist.
Yeah, gross.
They really hammed that up for no reason.
I know. Really, and also, it like came out of nowhere. Cause like at first I was like, oh, she's really not being too bad. And then it was like, oh my god, it was like aggressive. And I was like,
it's almost worse in this movie because the whole sprayable mist thing feels really awful.
That's like, pepper. That's really, like, that's awful. Pepper spray. That's so bad. That's so, so bad.
Like, the exact message, like, it was like, oh, you're gay, but, like, you have to tell everyone you're straight. It's like, they're putting Tyson in the closet.
Yeah, no, it was literally, like, cover yourself up. Like, no, it's like, oh, no, don't like it. That made me very uncomfy.
Me too.
But also feel like he looks better with two eyes, so.
So I'm to very be shallow. But like, for me. Also, this little Ganymede bit.
So fun. I love how they just dropped that in.
It was like really weird.
They didn't need context like, or very reason.
Yeah.
They said only real ones get it. The fact that Yvette Nicole Brown.
I was going to say that.
Was one of the. Oh my god. I think I recognized her the first times I watched it. But this time, like, I just recently watched Community. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, Shirley!
I know. I really, the second she came on screen, I was like, wait, is that yeah. Yvette Nicole Brown? And then I looked it up, and I was like, yeah. It is Yvette Nicole Brown.
I had, like, Googled the cast beforehand, because I wanted to know if, oh, I'm a terrible person. What's his name? Oh no, I'm awful.
Sean Bean, I don't know.
No, Poseidon.
Oh.
I wanted to know if he was...
The guy from Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, to our listeners...
He's not in this movie.
I know, it's so sad. Because I just started watching Grey's Anatomy, like, last month, and I was like, oh, now that I know who... Oh, Kevin McKidd or something? I thought it might be very
You're really
wrong.
Asking, like, the two wrong people.
True. I have no idea.
It's true. But like, Poseidon, like, I wanted to know if Poseidon was in this one, because I was like, oh, I get to see him in a new light now. And, like, the answer was no, and I was just very sad. But, like, when I was looking at the cast, I was like, oh, my God, hi. And then when she appeared in the car, I was like, hi. Like, I was very excited to see her.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a Medusa bobblehead on the dashboard.
I did see that.
I don't remember that. That's funny, though.
It was very... Honestly, this cab scene is kind of fun.
It is really fun. I like it a lot.
It is. I think we've talked about that we didn't mind this scene.
Yeah, they did. They did well.
I don't know what he says in this scene, But in my notes, I have in all caps, why Grover horny?
I don't
remember. But it's after the cab
scene. An important question.
That's always... yeah, I feel like we always ask him that question.
Also, so they have this, like, it's, I wrote down, Siren Coffee, which is just a really loose play on Starbucks because Starbucks' symbol is a siren.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just a cheap laugh.
But then, why no Monster Donut?
Exactly. I was like, it's just a pathetic nod to Monster Donuts.
If you have coffee shop, why no Monster Donut?
Yeah.
If coffee shop, why no Monster Donut?
Maybe they were trying to make it, like, more appealing to, like, the current, like, haha, Starbucks, you all because, like that,
what year,
right?
What year did this movie come out?
2013.
2013. Yeah, that feels about right. That's probably when, like, Bethany Modo was hyping out Starbucks.
Oh, girl, it was.
True, it was.
Was.
But also, like, I would love to go to a donut shop. I would love to see a donut shop in every movie I watch.
And then we have Chris Rodriguez again. They're like, was that Chris Rodriguez? And they're like, yeah, I think it was Chris Rodriguez.
He's such like, an integral part of this movie. Yeah.
And, like, we get his full name every time, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is their teleport device?
I don't, yeah, not a clue.
Like, what a very convenient plot device.
True.
They really said, I don't know how to write my way out of this one, so give them a teleport device.
True.
And then there's Castle.
I know. So funny when he came.
Like, Nathan Fillion, you didn't need to do this.
Yeah, like, what are you doing here?
Listen.
You have so much money.
But... I was thinking when you mentioned Yvette Nicole Brown, anyone in this movies, in these movies that I see, like, if you need a check... Get the check. Like, I'm sure these movies paid you so much money.
Oh, that's true.
I agree. And also, like, it's sometimes fun to act in a fantasy movie, I bet. So, like, I don't doubt that, like, he was probably like, this would be fun. You know?
What was really funny that I only got because I was watching this with my dad. He says, best TV show ever. So, of course, canceled, which is really funny. Because if you guys know the story of the show Firefly, which Nathan Fillion was in.
I don't.
It was a really popular TV show that was canceled after the first season. And it ends on, like, a huge cliffhanger. And it,
that's
like,
so sad.
It was one of those shows that they, like, tried to kill. Like, networks try to kill shows sometimes.
Yeah.
And so they killed it. But it's insanely popular. And they've never, like, finished the show.
Oh, that just means I can never watch it because I'd get so mad.
I know. My dad keeps telling me that I would like it, but I can't watch a show that I know is going to end me on cliffhanger. Like,
no,
do
yeah.
You guys remember My Babysitter is a Vampire?
I never watched that.
Oh, my God.
You never watched
Ava,
that?
I never that watched show, it.
That show literally defined my personality. I wanted to be... I wanted to either date or be anyone in that show.
Like, I agree.
Like,
maybe
I wanted to
watch it.
Be, like, I just, oh my God.
This just means I have to watch it now.
You
I
do.
Wanted to be, it's what was the main character's, what was Vanessa Morgan's
I wanna
character?
Oh my God. I can't remember.
I wanted to be her so bad.
Oh my God.
She dated the cute one, and she was really cool.
Name of the cute boy.
Yeah, I know. And she dated the cute one. That's why I wanted to.
What's her name? Oh my God. Someone DM us on Instagram.
Someone DM us on Instagram. What is her name?
Tweet at us. Tell us the name.
Yeah, we will actually appreciate it so much because I have.
Oh my God. Do a bonus episode of us just watching My Babysitter is a Vampire. That show
no.
is incredible.
Oh my God. Can we?
No.
What a sad show to get killed by Disney.
There's a movie and then two seasons of a TV show.
That's not too much. Okay, maybe.
But it ends on an insanely awful cliffhanger.
Oh, then I'm not watching.
Ava, it's incredible.
It is really incredible. Rainbow is so cool.
Rainbow is so cool. I do like the CGI.
I was going to say, there's a lot of, like, design stuff that is very good.
That they clearly spent all their money on. And, you know, where your priorities lie.
They spent a lot of money on the CGI. And then they couldn't afford a cruise ship.
I like
why
that.
Why boat so small?
I think it's cool.
Why boat so small? Because he's like the whole point is he's supposed to have an army and a bunch of monsters on this yacht. Yeah,
but
it's,
I like
it's just a nice little yacht.
It's not even a big yacht. Like, there do be big yachts.
It's a pretty big yacht.
It's like size. It does have a brig.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it looks good. So
Ava approves of the yacht. You all heard it here first.
And then we have the manticore in this for
it's
no
so
reason.
Ugly.
It's ugly. It's there's no reason for it to be here.
Oh no!
But yeah. It's like an integral part of the film,
which is so weird.
Also, they name drop Selena Beauregard and Ethan Nakamura.
And queen. They do her dirty. I'm like, my girl Selena did nothing wrong.
I agree.
She fought on the good side. What are you doing tarnishing her name? So rude.
Also, they're like, I did notice that it's like Ethan Nakamura and Chris Rodriguez. There's like, oh, those are two characters of color. And then they were both white. They were all white men.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know about like Chris Rodriguez, but I just don't know the actor.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't get to see him enough, but he was name dropped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, a little sus that like they were. Yeah.
Also, what is Luke's plan in this movie? Because
it's not clear.
He doesn't have Chronos to like explain what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Because in the book, it's like, oh my god, this was his plan the whole time. He like poisoned the tree so he could get the fleece, but also unleash Talia. But then in this, they're now like racing to get the fleece. So why did he poison the tree?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he poisoned the tree before he knew they would have to race. Like, maybe his plan all along was, like, poison the tree. They don't know it. I get the fleece without them knowing.
I think you're giving all... Ava, I think you're giving way too much credit to these screenwriters.
I am. They don't deserve it.
And then we have the most iconic moment of this movie.
Excuse me?
Don't walk on my roof.
Oh, yeah, very fun.
What are you doing? Fair. Don't walk on my roof.
Don't walk on my roof. Yeah, that was good. I mean, I'll fight for the obstacle course till I die. But yes, I agree.
And then, Percy is way too powerful.
I know. Hey, like, you can't give him a big ego and a lot of power. Actually, wait, maybe that is the way to go. But, like, he's so young.
He's just, like, the amount of powerful.
The amount big. Of powerful. Oh, my God. The
amount of powerful.
I love grammar. Yeah.
And then they're like, a Cyclops killed Talia, and that's why I can be racist.
And it's like, that's.
And they do it in front of Tyson, too. Like, Tyson, like, they're pretending this boat is so big.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like, that's, like, when people are, like, talking about a party that you are not invited to in front of you. Like, it's just so mean.
And then Charybdis.
I mean, Charybdis kind of a little bit badass, though.
Like, Charybdis looks very cool. But then they get swallowed?
Yeah,
what a weird thing to add.
Like,
yeah,
it's just one of those weird things. Like, with all the time you spent in the belly of Charybdis, we could have had Cersei.
I know, I missed Cersei.
Cersei, like, or the sirens
paid another.
So,
actor.
Like, I think
they give actors work.
So, like, they find Clarice, like, with Confederates.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't want to mention the Confederacy in a children's movie, and
no,
I understand
they
that.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
They
I don't
do.
Think they talk
they're
about
like,
it enough.
They're like, they're Confederate soldiers.
Yeah. Like, but they don't explain why Clarice is with them. I don't think. I mean, like, they...
Yeah.
Like, they it's not like...
They do, but not well.
Yeah, it's not like they were like, well, Aries made it happen. Also, she didn't choose this.
Did any of you guys pick up on the fact... So there's this one zombie that they talk to a lot. Did you pick up on the fact that they named him Riordan?
Oh my god, no.
They
no.
said it multiple times, too. They named
not
him
this.
Riordan.
Not this.
Yes.
That's
not
funny.
This.
He's like an annoying Confederate soldier zombie, and they named him Riordan.
I bet Rick, like...
Not this!
I'm gonna hope that Rick wanted that.
Rick Riordan has never seen these movies.
Oh, right.
He was not involved with this
Guys,
at all.
If we ever have the honor of talking to Rick Riordan...
We have to tell him.
We have to tell him. We
gotta tell him.
We need to make sure he knows.
Oh, so there's gonna be a lawsuit.
Like, that's insane. I've never heard anyone talk about that. I've never heard it referenced. And then I was watching this scene, and they called him Riordan multiple times.
They probably thought it was fun. But, like...
Ava, again, you're giving them too much credit.
No, I agree.
I'm not
like,
done. No, I'm not done. They probably thought it was fun, but that's a Confederate soldier.
I was like, that is a Confederate soldier zombie.
Big mistake.
Very big
not
mistake.
This.
Not
anything
this.
But this. Oh, and the, how they get out of the stomach makes no sense.
Yeah, also
that's not how boats
really
work.
Are just like,
that's not how boats work. They like poked a hole through her side, and then the ship is significantly far underwater, and then it floats up.
Yeah,
it does. Boats are not. Boats
like
can't
I don't
do that.
Think your lungs work for that long.
Oh, and then I like that his powers are just like to see lines.
Yeah,
I can see longitude and latitude lines. Let's go that way.
Yeah,
this is a very pretty sunset happening behind them as they approach Circe land.
Ugh.
What a big insult.
Like, I feel bad for her. Like, having read the Madeline Miller book, like, I'm sorry, baby. Like, they shouldn't have done you like this.
And, like, the fact that it is an amusement park doesn't really play into anything.
No, it really doesn't.
Like, it's just, like, a backdrop.
Yeah.
And then, what?
I was just going to say, is there anything that isn't, like, just a backdrop. Like, is there anything of substance in this entire film, though?
There isn't, because now we have reached an hour and 15 minutes into this film, and I feel like nothing's happened.
I agree. There, like, you know, there are those movies that you just sit there and you watch them, and you're like, I don't feel like I just watched a movie. Like, either because, like, not a lot happened in the plot, or, like, no big dramatic moment, or, like, the set was the same the whole time. But, like, there are some movies where you're like, I don't feel like I just consumed a movie. And, like, I feel like this is one of them.
Like, they've been to so many different locations, and everything's looked very cool, but not a single character has done anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then we meet Polyphemus.
We do.
And then he's gone. It's very fast. Polyphemus has nothing to do with this book.
Yeah. Because without Grover, how the fuck does he have anything really to do? Like, he just wants his fleece, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, without
a fleece Grover, that's not actually golden.
I know. The audacity.
There was this moment where he was like, wait, you're a dude? And I was like, this feels so homophobic.
Yeah, I agree.
Gross. I do like... I feel like the Grover had, like, a construction paper eye taped to his forehead.
Yeah. Funny. I like... it's so hard, because I know we talked about this earlier, but, like, I like Grover being there because I like Grover. But it's so detrimental to the plot to not have that, like, key
that they're sensible searching for
plot line. Yeah.
Well, see, that's what makes their quest redeemable, like, in the sea of monsters.
I know. That's
because they're
saying.
Not going. Yeah, they're not just going to save the camp. They're going to save Grover because they've believed that Clarice can save the fleece, but they know that she's not going to try to save Grover.
Yeah. Mostly, and also like Percy's empathy link with Grover is a big thing because Percy's like, I know exactly where he is, you know? So like, that's why he feels entitled to go on the quest. But without that, he just seems annoying.
Like, doesn't this Percy seem like really sexist?
He just seems like there's something. Yes. Like, just
and
like
he's too old to be acting like that. That's yeah. like, there's immature moments in Percy's character because he's 14. And in this, he's just too old to be acting like this.
The yeah, whole like, thing, like, I feel like Percy, like the person in this movie is like waiting to drop an issue. Like, I feel like the whole thing with Lea Michele where like it was like revealed that she was racist. Like, I'm not surprised because I was just waiting for her to like, for something. Like I feel, like I felt like there was an issue here.
Waiting to drop an issue. That's so funny.
Like, I felt like there was a problem there and like it finally came out. And so I feel like with this Percy, like he's hiding something and something's going to come out.
Sea of Monsters movie Percy is your problematic fave.
But like, is
you
he though?
Don't know what's you, no, he's your problematic unfave. Like,
yeah, he's just your problematic. Like, that's it.
He is just your problematic.
Percy, you're problematic.
That's Jesus hilarious. Christ. Just anyway. Waiting to drop an issue.
And then, oh my god, there's this moment where, like, Percy does, like, a cartwheel over Polyphemus and steals the fleece.
Wow.
And I was like, where was this the entire movie?
I know.
Like, suddenly you turn out like that.
You know, I have that issue with the whole Harry Potter universe, too, because here's the thing. If Voldemort has that much power, he could just go to Hogwarts on any given day and, like, destroy the place. And he doesn't.
Oh, like, with the movies?
I mean, kind of. Just like the, like, it's a weird thing I think about with, like, fantasy and sci-fi stuff. Like, if this entity has so much power, why don't they use it and why do they make it hard for themselves?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I get that it's the plot. There's a part of me that's like, you could really just be one and done with this. I
was like, yeah, wait, this could be so much easier for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then for this, it's like the protagonist. Like, if Percy, if you... If you can do a cartwheel, I mean, is he the protagonist? Like, if he's a waiter.
I really think this entire movie is about Clarice.
She's the protagonist.
As it should be.
As it should be.
But, like, why are we wasting time with Percy and Annabeth?
Yeah.
Annabeth, who's just not in this movie.
I know. I honestly, I will go so far as to say that I think Percy and Annabeth are the antagonists of this movie. Let me say... Let me go
bold
into
claims. Bold mm-hmm. claims.
I have something to back it up. I have something to back it up. So,
okay.
In our Brayden, I remember we learned this in our FYS, in our for our listeners, in our first year seminar. It was about plays, and so our professor taught us like new definitions of like protagonist and antagonist. And protagonist was the character that had changed the most throughout the story or grown the most, and the antagonist was the character that was the most sort of static and like stagnant like the whole time and like didn't really change very much. I'll argue that Annabeth and Percy didn't change much.
I agree
throughout the whole movie. I think Clarice changed. I think she got more, she got less bitter and she got more like brave in a not spontaneous way. I don't know, I just think like it might be true. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Also, they trapped Polyphemus in this cave with a boulder.
Yeah.
But why can't he just move it?
That's another thing. I feel like he could. Polyphemus is just, like, all talk.
And then Tyson's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a very unearned way. And then Percy goes, I never called him brother. I've never called my brothers brother.
I don't have siblings.
Go call your brother's brother right now.
Like, I love you, brother. Thank you.
Oh, call me.
Brother.
Love you, sister. She would be like, she would be so alarmed.
Like, people don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And then they vote Percy. They're like, Percy, you can save us all. But why?
But why? Yeah, like he hasn't changed. He hasn't done anything. Why do you think he is capable of that?
And they're like, we're all behind you. We trust you. Oh, what a good shot. Oh,
I would not trust this man.
Yeah.
Like, I would not trust this man with anything.
Yeah.
And then Kronos comes back because we needed that.
We needed that now. Like, we couldn't have we couldn't have that as the plot for the whole fucking movie, which would make things make a lot more sense. We needed to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. It wasn't even about this until, like, if you made that part of the movie, it would have been better.
It would have.
Didn't talk about this and made Polythemus that battle last longer, the entire movie would have been better.
Yeah.
It could have been so much easier to make this movie a little better.
It's so true.
Like, what if they were going to introduce Kronos, why did they wait until right now?
I mean, because, like,
so frustrating.
And it's weird because Luke talked about the, like, the coffin that he had.
He could have talked about it in the Lightning Thief. Like, he could have literally spoke about it in the Lightning Thief. Why did we wait until right now to bring up this important thing?
He talked about it, like, I think when they were on his boat or something. But he didn't say enough, like, to make it a thing. And, like, it didn't carry through. Like, it was really odd.
I agree. And then Kronos eat Luke.
Yeah. Also, I just have an issue. Like, I feel like this set is so dark and it does nothing for...
I agree.
Like, yeah.
Like, I feel like it would just be so much better if, like, the final battle... Like, I don't know. I just have an issue with, like, the plot beginning, essentially, in the same place that, like, the final battle happens and everything ends.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, basically, up until, like, when they get to this, like, weird dark amusement park, it's, like, not... Which, for some reason, is Cersei, even though it's where Polyphemus is.
Yeah, they're like, it's Cersei land.
It's like, no.
The Cyclops live there, and
it's Polyphemus.
All the demigods were eaten on opening day.
Yeah, very confusing. I don't know. Like, I just think they could have, like, gone somewhere else, and it could have been more exciting, but I don't know.
It's like, if you're going to use a... If you're going to choose a setting, you have to use it. There has to be a reason why they're in an amusement park. It's not earned. The only time they do anything related to being an amusement park is their ride into Polythemus's lair where they sing It's a Small
World. Yeah.
Oh my God, stop.
I was like, that's when I gained, I like already had respect for Movie Clarice, but when Movie Clarice was like, shut the fuck up, you two. And I was like, thank you, because someone has had to say that to Percy and Annabeth this entire movie.
Yeah, it's true. Nope.
After
we're
all.
We're not doing this. No.
Oh, okay, I'm already annoyed. By myself. Yes, I know. I realize. And then his sword magically has a power to kill Kronos because it was Poseidon's sword?
Oh, also the fact that, like, they shouldn't be allowed to see him in his full form. Also, he's not done forming.
I mean, that's why at the end they get this little thing. They're like, but is he gone? But is this the end?
But, like, I don't...
Probably because this was a terrible movie and we won't get another sequel. But just in case we do.
I know. They were like, we can't cut off this plot line just yet. But also, we might have to.
Yeah. I just think, like... It was just like they can't see gods in their full form. Why could they see Kronos in his full form?
You ask, like, that's you ask too much of these screenwriters, Ava.
Well, but no, that's a whole Titan, you know? Well, I guess they did see the gods in the last movie, you know?
You know?
So that's just been an inconsistency from the beginning.
And I think
this entire franchise has been an inconsistency.
I'm hesitant to call it a franchise.
Yeah, just like
I think that also gives it too much credit.
It does.
That's fair, actually.
I think it's a movie that people like don't like, but like kind of are fond of for like because they grew up watching it, and then the sequel to it.
Yeah.
Like I can still enjoy watching the first one, even if I hate it.
I enjoy this one.
I have to say, I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with that.
I liked it but with the full knowledge that, like, I didn't like it for traditional movie reasons.
Yeah,
I just thought it was fun to laugh at.
Exactly.
No. It was fun to laugh at, and I really did like seeing, like, the visual, like, manifestation of events in the book.
Exactly. And also, like, me, like, figuring out why one of my favorite characters is one of my favorite characters, and then seeing her, like, kick ass this whole movie was very fun for me.
Yeah. Huh.
Also, Annabeth, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was saying, like, I found it strange that they changed so much. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, you can't fit an entire book into a movie. I understand that. You're going to have to paraphrase. But at the end of the day, I feel like they were trying to sell this movie to, like, a much wider audience than they should have assumed they had. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they were like, oh, well, we don't want to pander to just the kids who read the book. Like, we want to, like, because, like, the book has some deeper things, like Annabeth listening to the sirens and then swimming. Like, that has, like, deeper connotations to it. And they were like, this is just a fun action film for teens and, like, kids.
Yeah.
And I feel like you need to realize at the end of the day, like, your prime market is people who read the book.
I agree.
So you do need to pander to them. And I feel like both of these movies were trying to, like, not pander to the fan base and, like, go away from the fan base and try and make it, like, a wider thing. Like, this isn't just a book adaptation for nerds. We want to make it a cool action movie. And it's like, why did you do that? Like, your primary people are going to be people who read the book.
And the actual action in this movie sucks.
True.
It's so confusing to me. I these are very different movies, but, like, I compare it to when they made a film of The Fault in Our Stars. Like, we are going to have no John Green slander on any platform that I'm involved in.
All right. I will not talk.
I love
Actually,
John
no,
Green.
I really like John Green.
Love John Green. No John Green slander. Made my personality. Anyways. he just, like, when they made a movie of The Fault in Our Stars, like, it was the book. They cut out some stuff because they had to, but, like, they included John Green in the process, and, like, they basically made an adaptation of the book, and they didn't add any new events in there. They just omitted what they felt wasn't, like, necessary to make the movie a movie length, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, they could have pandered to a wider audience of, like, kids who didn't read and, like, who, like, didn't want to read.
Yeah.
Like, did not read for fun because The Fault in Our Stars wasn't exactly like an assigned book reading.
It worked out because
it was a good movie. Like, it because they
Fault in
actually
Our Stars
made
was,
the book.
The Fault in Our Stars was on my MCAS, the standardized testing for Massachusetts. I had
amazing.
I
wow.
had an excerpt from
but
The
Fault in
Our
Stars movie was good. Like, it was an actually good movie.
Yeah,
it was
because
good.
They tried
I agree.
Say it, and they could have pandered to, like, even like an it's. It's a teen book, but they could have even pandered to, like, an older teen, like, early adult, like, 18 to 22 audience, but they didn't because they knew that was not wise because the primary audience was, like, young teenagers reading the book, so they made it, like, a movie they would want to watch. And I don't know why they did not use the same strategy in making these movies.
It's weird because I feel
like... The Fault in Our Stars made mad money and, like...
Because I feel like The Fault in Our Stars, like, it did... It was more grounded. It did make more sense for people who didn't read the book. Like, it did make more sense for people who are older. With this movie, I feel like the producers were like, fantasy, what do I do with this genre? Like, what do I do with this? And, like, it just went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun. Was it?
No.
Actually, it was.
It was fun in a morbid kind of way.
It was fun in a morbid kind of way. So do we have offerings and votes off the island for this film? The final ones for the Sea of Monsters?
I would like to not go first.
I would like to not. I would like to
offerings?
Keep it on, please.
God, I don't even know. I guess Clarice has
I was
to
gonna
get
say,
one, right?
I was going to say, mine is for Clarice, hands down. Movie yes. Clarice came in clutch for me. I wish we had more of her, but, like, when she was on screen, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I agree.
I love her.
Oh, we'll give one to Mr. D. He's funny.
I was going to say that, yeah. I was going to say the two offerings that I want to make sure are given are to movie Clarice and Stanley Tucci. because
Stanley Tucci did good with what he had.
he did a fabulous job. I think he, to be quite frank, I think he was the best actor in the movie.
I agree. And so am I giving an offering for Dionysus or for Stanley Tucci?
Well, okay.
So oh, that's fair.
My offering breakdown is the character of movie Clarice and Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
Like a little 50-50.
And then Neve, your vote is Stanley Tucci?
Yeah, can I do both? Like, they're truly the only two that deserve it.
Yeah.
I will give you both so that I'll just, like, I'll give a half for each of you.
Okay.
So in total, Clarice gets two and Stanley Tucci gets one.
Nice.
And in Stanley the end.
Tucci.
Have you guys seen the SNL sketch called Tucci Gang?
I have. Yes, I have seen that.
It's so funny to me. Sorry, carry on.
I was going to say, who do we vote off the island?
All of them. All the rest. Annabeth was just complete. Movie Annabeth is awful.
Yeah.
Movie Percy is an idiot.
Yeah.
So Neve's vote is for everyone but Clarice and Stanley Tucci.
The screenwriters. That's my vote.
Mine is Percy.
Fair.
Bad.
I'm surprised they got Sean Bean back.
Did they?
Yes, question mark.
When was he in this movie?
Well, when I looked up the cast, it said he was there.
I don't remember him being there.
Oh.
Maybe just his voice.
Maybe. Like, did Zeus ever talk?
I don't know.
I can't remember, but like that's what I would think is maybe, the most maybe realistic there was term.
Maybe there is a deleted scene.
Yeah.
And then that's it. We're done with The Sea of Monsters.
That's the movie. Oh, and the book.
And the book. We're all done.
Closing the chapter.
Do we want to hear how the offerings and votes panned out for this?
Would love to.
Yeah. All right.
What should we want to hear first?
Let's start with the bad.
Yeah.
Start with the bad. All right. Tied for last place, we have the screenwriters of the Sea of Monsters movie.
Yes.
Everyone but Clarice.
And Stanley Tucci.
Mean Bear. Hephaestus. Teachers. In general. Joe Bob. Smelly Gabe. Oh. Annabeth's dad. Clarice. And Dionysus. And then in fourth place, we have Ares with two. In third place, we have both Percy and Rick Riordan with three. And then tied for second, we have Luke, Polythemus, and Annabeth.
Wow.
She deserves it.
And then the grand winner, who will officially be voted off the island for eternity, is Tantalus.
Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye. We would never want to see you again.
Very fun.
But then our sweethearts of this book, this genre, Sea of Monsters.
Yes.
Tied in last place, we have Tempest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hermes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Me too.
Circe.
Yay.
Yes.
Iris.
Mm-hmm. Queen.
Sally.
Yeah.
And Stanley Queen. Tucci.
Yeah. One of these things is not like the other.
And
amazing
then
lineup.
In fifth place, we have Chiron with 1.5.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you were the half, Ava.
Really? Was I not all of that? I feel like I'd be all of it.
I feel like you were the one and also the half.
Okay, that makes sense.
Two separate occasions.
I do remember giving half and half for Clarice and Chiron once.
Yes. Talia with two. even though she wasn't in this book.
That's credit to Neve, I think.
She came in at the end, and she's a star.
It wasn't even for the last chapter. In third place, tied with four, we have Percy, Grover, and Annabeth. Our golden trio did okay, but not that good.
Okay, I mean,
Grover just wasn't in the book enough to truly.
I'm so surprised that Grover has four.
We just he was
not in this book.
We just like him.
But Percy and Annabeth were just in. They redeemed themselves, but like this was a tough book for them. Percy wasn't too bad, but it was a tough book.
Annabeth completely evens out. She has four votes off and four offerings.
Makes sense.
It does.
And then the eternal question. Who won this book, Clarice or Tyson?
Tyson. Drum roll. Oh.
It's not that exciting. In second place, we have Clarice.
Yeah.
With seven.
Yeah. That's okay.
And then in first place, our boy, Tyson, with 10.5 offerings.
He's so good.
This book has 11 chapters. not 11 chapters, it has 10 episodes.
So once it's what he deserves.
You love him. I'm proud of Clarice for being number two. Also, I remember at the beginning of this book, you guys were like, "Ugh, Ava's gonna give an offering to Clarice every chapter because she's the only one who likes her." And I'm like, "No,
I
right
came out of this book really loving Clarice,
as you should." Thank you.
She has a great development.
Welcome to my team. we have yes.
All right, and that is all for this week, folks, and for this season, and for this book, and the concept.
Yay! The concept.
The concept.
That was the chapter.
Next week, join us for the first episode of The Titan's Curse, where we will be discussing...
We will be discussing chapter one. Oh my god, at last. My rescue operation goes very wrong, and chapter two, the vice principal gets a missile launcher through the theme of duty.
Make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're at Return to Camp, and check out our Patreon and Redbubble store.
Yay! Woo! I'm so excited for Titans.
Me too. I think all of each of our favorite characters come in this next book.
Yeah, I agree.
That's actually so true. Oh my god.
Oh, I'm hyped.
Yeah. Woo!